Righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
489.
With our tongue, we gladly confess thy name.
about Psalms 100.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, make a joyful noise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise.
I saved it because I don't want to sing it when there's a lot of people down. Because people might think that because we have love within ourselves that we're saved or we're part of God. And it comes right out of 1 John chapter 4. Obviously, 1 John chapter 4, the Spirit comes out.
Amen.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but our spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out to the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Spirit of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hear of them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. And especially, you know, these verses on love. Before I was saved, I had a lot of love, I thought. You know, but it's not God's love. It's a kindness and a love towards others, but it's not the same as God's love.
Amen.
You know, none of us died on the cross for anybody. He had a lot of love for us. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live for him.
Amen.
There is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an initiation for our sins.
Amen.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And here's the best verse of all. We love him because he first loved us.
Hallelujah.
If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, Amen. He is a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. We need of God that he loved us and spent his son to be the propitiation for our sin.
Made me do a lot of thinking about love. And it said in there that if you really want to love your wife, and this could go with your friend, someone you've had an argument with, you really want to love your wife, that it all starts with goodwill. And that this is the way to learn how to love your wife or someone else that you've had an argument with, whatever. After you get in an argument with your wife or with your husband or whatever, just take a list. Take a piece of paper and write down a list of all the things that you know that your wife likes for you to do. Then 20 of them, 25 of them, just all the things that you know your wife likes for you to do, and then do them. And he said, that is love. Now, this is he was trying to explain that this is the real love. And I don't know about whether all that is true or not. I do, I'm sure about one thing. And that love is not just a simple little emotion that we feel in our heart. Love is an action.
Amen.
Love is an act. It's something that we do. We love someone, we do something. We show goodwill. We have love. And I have noticed, and I've told many people this, but I've noticed that if you want someone to be your friend, you just show goodwill to that person, and they will turn around and show goodwill back to you. That's how it's the beginning of love. It's the root of love. You get mad at your wife, you get out of a big fight or something, the whole problem was that you both are not showing goodwill. As soon as one starts showing goodwill, the other will follow along.
Amen.
Because that's what real love is. It's an action. It's a decision. I will love that person. So you do. You do just by showing goodwill. You don't do it by saying, you know, well, you are too, or something like that. You don't do it by giving back at the same time. You do it by saying, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I really don't want to be at odds with you. I don't want to fight you. I would much rather be you know. Oh, and if your wife is like my wife, she won't forgive you the first day, but maybe the next day. You do have a hope the next day. So, remember, love is not so simple, such a simple little emotion that kids think it is.
Amen.
You know, you talk about being in love with somebody. Well, first of all, being in love is not the same as loving somebody.
Right. Amen.
You're in love, because they have something that you think they can offer you or whatever. But you love someone, it is with a simple desire in your mind. You say, I'm going to love that person.
Amen.
I will love that person. And so you act accordingly. You do the act of loving that person. You make the love. Produce love right there to that person, or in between you and that other person. So I get mad at Danny. Either one. I get mad at Danny, and we're at odds. We've had one argument in our life, if I remember right. One good argument. You'll never believe what it was over. It was over a game of a choir. But we've had one argument in our life, and we just both split up and walked away. And the next day, he showed me goodwill, and I showed him goodwill. He said, this is the reason why this happened. And I said, no, this was the reason why this happened. Well, what we did was we showed goodwill, and there existed the bond of love still between us. Now, as soon as you get into a place where you won't show that first step of goodwill, there is no love between you. But you show that first step of goodwill, and you might not have any emotion of your love, but your love is showing. Your desire to love is showing, and after a while, you just keep showing that goodwill. After a while, there'll be such a bond of emotion that you'd never be able to separate yourself because of that bond of love. Do that with your wife, do that with anybody. Remember, love is not a feeling, love is an action.
Amen.
You know, Billy shared on love, and Bernie saw was how we need to love each other. However, none of that would be possible. Us loving me, loving Billy, or Lindell, or anybody in here would be possible without the love of God.
Amen.
There's a song that most of us have sang throughout our entire life, our Christian life, whether you were a child when you first got saved or later life. There's a song that goes throughout the Christian life, and everybody knows the thing, and it's in the hymnal, it's 479. But it's really encouraging, because the love of God has to come first before we can show love to anybody. It isn't inside us. It isn't within us to love somebody that is contrary to our feelings or contrary to our life itself. It has to come from God, and that's what the song's about.
You call it?
Oh, yes. Amen. Thank you.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, the Bible.
story is told, I don't know whether it's true or not, but some great scientist, he had probed into all kinds of marvelous, fantastic things, was asked, what was the greatest thing he'd ever discovered? And he said, Jesus loved me. And, you know, you keep finding anything much more profound than that, can't you? And that verse in 1 John 4 that she was saying about hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. And you know, the reason for that is, of course, that we had nothing within us to love. You know, we get all confused, and we really are. We're really confused people because we've been brought up with television and Hollywood. We don't even know what love is all about. Our idea of love, and the reason so many marriages fall apart, is because people go into marriage expecting a Hollywood type of romance, you know. And that lasts for about 3 days. I mean, if you're fortunate. And it lasts for 3 days, in reality, and you know, and you find out that she uses rollers at night, and she's got a grubby beard in the morning. You know, it just, well, reality sets in. But you know, God knew exactly what we were.
Amen.
Amen. What Bill was saying a while ago, I thought he was going to get to the point, but I'd like to get to the point.
Amen.
Tell me what it is.
Don't they work together?
Love, amen.
Love is goodwill.
Amen.
And you know, the greatest definition of love is found in John 3:16.
Amen.
Amen. God so loved that he gave.
Amen.
That's what real love is all about.
Amen.
And not giving to someone that's lovely or that's deserving,
that's right,
or somebody that can respond in like manner.
Uh-huh.
Because when God gave, he gave to a world that hated him.
That's right.
He gave to people that despised him. He gave to people that were unlovely and unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
And people that had nothing to offer. You know, we get things all out of shape sometimes by thinking that God needed us. And the reason that God's done all the things he's done is because he needed somebody on his side. Well, friends, you know, God plus me is the majority, but God by himself is the majority.
Amen.
He didn't need me. He was already a majority. He already was a ruler of the universe. And God's love was expressed not because of any necessity of any kind. He is perfect and complete in himself. But
amen.
Thank God he wanted to express that love.
Amen.
And since he couldn't find anybody that was worthy of that love, he just found somebody like me and you that was unworthy and expressed love to him.
Amen.
You know, I just thank God for that verse. I wonder sometimes, I used to wonder why it was that I'm saved. And that verse says so plainly that he first loved me.
Amen.
I didn't have any love. There was nothing in me that I couldn't even respond until God put something with me to respond with. He had to do all the work. But that's what love's all about. And you know, when he puts it in us, somehow there's something gets rearranged within us. And we begin to show that kind of love one toward another. What Bill was saying is that if God's love is like it is, our love ought to be like his love.
Amen.
Because we've been made in his image. We're being transformed. Not all at once. Lynn and I were talking today, you know, sometimes it's hard to believe that we're really saved. Some of the things that, you know, that we're capable of, some of the things we do, some of the ways we respond. But, you know, we can't expect an instant transformation. But God is transforming us. And, you know, one of the ways we can tell is because of repentance. After something happens, oh, it's a shame that it happened. But isn't it glorious to see somebody able to stand up,
amen,
and say, I blew it. I did this, or I did that, or I said this. Well, that's God's love.
Amen.
Glory to us. And making us respond to that love that he's already shown us. I really thank the Lord tonight for his love.
Let's sing number 44. Number 44.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
The love we have is really unique, you know, because some of the things we say to each other, we do each other, only those who love me can do that way. Like how we do some people here, you know, like Linda can the short jokes, you know, the long jokes and young jokes with Joey, stuff like that. You can't tell anybody that. And I was thinking about, you know, when I cut Linda's hair the other week, you know, I cut Linda's hair, I gave her a bob, she hit her hair. And she said, I was like, the world's going to eat my Methodist hair. You know, it hadn't been anybody else. That's why I would have told you. She said, it's all right. It's all right. You know, it could have been worse, but I thank God that because I was like, many days when we sit on the table, he's like, wow, isn't this beautiful? You know, we get together and just have a good time and just
amen.
Praise the Lord. And you know what I was thinking about? When I was reading last night, I was reading, and I should have kept it a minute, but I was thinking about, you know, we're in a copycat society today. You know, that everybody trying to copy everything and try to imitate and duplicate everything. Like, you know, like if you want to be beautiful, like Raquel Welch, well, come over here, I need your face. If you want to have, you know, your hair like Cheryl Tease, come over here, I can cut it for you. You want to do this, do that. You know, even with your clothes, you know, they have designer jeans, they have like Levi's and JCPenney's plain pockets, you buy this for cheaper or something like that. But we're in a copycat society. You know, anything you want copied, you can do it. But I know there's one thing you can't copy, and that's the love of God.
Amen.
And Satan might deceive you and tell you that he can do it. You know, he said, well, come over here, I'll show you, the brighter side. But no, you know, even like we didn't see advertising, like you want pleasure, you want to go to paradise, come to Hawaii. You want peace, come see the psychiatrist. You know, you want love, come here, I got this 10-time perfume, where I got this potion, I got this sure remedy. I mean, you want it, or you want to be in love, here's the perfect match right here. I mean, you know, it's something for everything. You know, you want to sleep, come on, I'll give you something to put you down. You want to get up, I'll give you something to get you up. You want to be full, I'll give you a pill to make me thank you for. You know, we got something for everything, but you know, the man doesn't have the answer for the love of God.
He really doesn't.
I just praise God.
Amen.
Awesome. You know, we are in a copycat society, but if we, on the other realm, not carnally, but spiritually minded, became copycat, this time we go, we copy Christ.
Amen.
We follow after Christ. And I was thinking about, you know, how certain things, you know, you cannot duplicate. And I want y'all to turn over to Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 5. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Y'all know somebody's like, y'all tell me so I know too. But I don't know anything or anybody. You know, and make me equal. There's nobody equal. There'll never be. 46. I'm sorry. But anyway, you know, there's nobody ever be as equal as Christ. There's no man I know on this earth that will lay down his life for somebody else. You know, I know there used to be a time, you know, in families that, you know, a mother would do anything for her last child, for her child. You know, I know my mother, she gave her not last. You know, if it came to choice between a bill or feeding us, my mother, she go on about to. But now, you know, so many mothers are leading their kids on empty doorsteps and talking about anything for a man or anything for money or anything. I got my career, leave the kids at home or anything. But you know, God's love isn't like that. God's love makes us, like you were talking about last night, long suffering and forbearing and, you know, gentle and kind, and makes us do things that we ordinarily wouldn't do. And look on down in verse 9, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else.
Amen.
I am God.
Amen.
And there is none like me.
Amen.
I'm God. You know, like
Amen.
I said, you might imitate it. You know, you can imitate things, but you can't duplicate
things.
Right.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I would like to share a few verses I found in the Bible.
Amen.
One of them is in John 4.
Amen.
23 and 24. Mm-hmm. But that hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth.
Amen.
And the other one is Philippians 3:3.
Amen.
For we are circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
I know I have been worshiping Christ, and I would ask you to pray for me so I can worship.
Amen.
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 As you know, I've had before me Genesis chapter 3 before me, and since I was the Lord's willing, I would present it as the Lord led. Of course, some meetings I didn't get up couldn't go on it because I wasn't there to attend to the meeting. But I think tonight I need to go back into Genesis chapter 3, and I think we'll really see a parallel. First, you might not, but I really believe it's there. And I think it goes along with the meeting. Last night wasn't along with the meeting. So, you know, it's not what we want.
Amen.
To a point where we can just submit to the Lord and take what He wants. It's always the best.
Amen.
Well, now let's read from verses 14 to 19. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. The dust thou art, the dust shalt thou return. Now the first section we talked about was the temptation of the serpent in verses 1 through 5. And then we went on to the fall of the woman and the man in verses 6 and 7. Then we looked at the appearance of the Lord God in verses 8 to 13. And now we have in verses 14 through 19 the pronouncement of the curse. And you say, well, Brother Joe, how does that go along with the love of God and the meeting that's going? Well, I think if you'll bear with me a few minutes, you're going to see the love of God shine out in the very pronouncement of the curse. Let's look at it starting in verse 14. It says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. You know, as we looked in the last section, we seen when the Lord appeared, he said, where art thou? And then he says, what hast thou done? And remember, everybody was, we talked about the way of fallen man. He blames everybody and everything but self. And he's trying to throw the ball on everybody else. Huh? And, you know, sometimes we might be able to get away with things in this life, and we might be able to try to put them off on someone else. But listen, when the Lord God speaks and he says, thou hast done this. Thou hast done this. Then listen, at that point, there is no argument.
Amen.
There is no more saying, you know, well, this and that. When God gives the pronouncement, when God steps forward and gives the sentence, well, there's no argument. When he says all the world is guilty, he's made, God has said that. Who can argue against God? And whatever comes out of the mouth of God is true and righteous and right, and it says his words are forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
You know, they could throw the ball around all they wanted to. When God said, thou hast done this, the ball stopped. All stuff. You might try to throw off your conviction sometimes and throw it off on someone else and try to blame someone else. But when God says, thou art the man, there's nowhere to go. Either you're going to submit or you're going to come down to the judgment day and meet him on it. One of the two. Either you're going to confess. But you know, he says, because thou hast done this. You know, like I said, we've got to hear the bad news before the good news. Because thou hast done this, you're not going to get away with it. You know, if you do something, and you do something contrary to what God tells you to do, whether it be a sin of commission or a sin of omission, whether God says to, not to do something and you do it, listen, you're not going to get away with it. He says, because thou hast done this, something's come. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can't get away from the government of God. The moral government of God is that what you put into the, what you sow and put into the ground is going to spring up in your life. And you're going to have to be God. You're going to have to be God. You're dealing with God. Who is like God? There's none like you. God sees all and knows all and will deal with all. And he says, because thou hast done this. So he says, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Now, he's saying this, he says this unto the serpent. He says this unto the serpent, and it's very interesting here. He says it unto the serpent. You know, the veil of the Old Testament is taken away in Christ.
Amen.
And when you can start seeing Christ on every page, the veil is getting taken away. The veil is getting taken away. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding up. The first thing that comes because of this fall is pain. We find the Lord Jesus on the cross suffering in pain and agony because of sin. Well, we see another thing here in verse 16, and that's subjection. He says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And then in the next part, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Subjection. The woman now has a new place, a new position, because of this. He says, because of this, because of the fall here, he says, now your desire is going to be your husband, and he's going to rule over thee. But look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. We can't, like I said, there can't be much commenting on these because of time. I just want you to see Christ all through here. Because he's there. He's all through here. Galatians 4:4. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Made of a woman, made under the law. God himself takes on the body of a man and puts himself under the law.
Amen.
And puts himself in parents' hands who are imperfect.
That's right.
Subjection. Subjection. Notice the next thing, number 3. Turn it down in verse 17. Verse 17. It says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast not eaten, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. The third thing that comes in because of the fall is the curse. Is the curse. Look at Galatians chapter 3.
Amen.
Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us.
Praise the Lord.
For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Amen.
Let's look at the fourth one. The fourth one's found in verse 17. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. You know what the fall brought in? Sorrow. Man told me today, when I went, he says, my daddy died. My daddy, that's some bad news. You know, that's sorrow. That's sorrow. Well, praise the Lord, I got to talk to him. Now he can get saved. But anyway, in sorrow, it says here, you know, Lord, you know, to use situations like that, you know, death comes in, let's use the opportunity, brethren, let's tell him. But it says here, sorrow came in. Well, look at Isaiah 53:3. I know many times I don't use the opportunity. I wish everyone. Isaiah 53:3. Notice now in Christ, Isaiah 53, verse 3. Notice what he's spoken of here. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Sorrow became him because of the fall. And here the Lord Jesus, we find him coming to take the sin of the world and become the man of sorrows. Well, let's look at the 5th one. Let's look at the 5th one. Verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The 4th thing that comes in because of the fall, the 5th thing is thorns. Thorns. Now look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. 29. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Mm. Thorns came in because of the curse, because of the fall. And you know what they placed on the Lord Jesus there? This ain't no coincidence. Don't tell me this is coincidence. This is providence. I tell you what, that Bible is so accurate. Those things in there aren't in there just by happen.
That's right.
Amen.
That is the hand and finger of God. Thorns, a crown of thorns was placed on the King of the Jews, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what that is? That's the sign of the curse. Mm. The sign of the curse is bore for us. Now, the sixth thing, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. You know, sweat came in because of the fall. Sweat came in. But look at Luke 22. No man ever sweated like this man. The Lord Jesus. Look at Luke 22 and verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then the last one that comes in because of the fall, the seventh, surely probably not the least, is death. Feel that, he says, in sweat, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. One time a brother said, you see, he was up in New England, and he wasn't saved at the time, and he used to, every time they had the old church bell, meaning when somebody would die, and they'd ring it as many times as how old the person was at the time he deceased. Sometimes he says, with anxiety, he'd go out there and he'd listen to the bells. They mean, listen to them, and he'd count every one. 1, 2, 3. And sometimes he'd go up to 8 and go, oh boy, 8. He says, maybe I'll have a long life. And he says, then sometimes he went out there, and it didn't ring as many times. And he says, oh boy, you know, that make him think, well, maybe I'm going to have a short life. And you know, he was all in anxiety about death. You know, fear has come in because, you know, man fears death. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let no scientist or sophisticated, cultured, educated man think it. You know, he's scared of death. And death came in because of the fall. Oh, look at Philippians chapter 2.
Amen.
Look at Philippians chapter 2. Got to end in 2 minutes. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
You know, this one, the Lord Jesus, because he died. The Lord Jesus, because he died, we can find in him now everlasting life.
Amen.
We can find life in him if one would believe that he did die for him, that he did die for me. He died for my sins and would receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they won't have to fear death. But the Bible says we're going to get another body. And death will be to us, like the Apostle Paul says. He says, I'm ready to depart.
Amen.
All death will be for a Christian someday is just simply to step out of this body and step out of this world and go into glory.
Amen.
If you're saved, if you've been washed by the blood of Christ,
amen.
If you've received the death of Christ for you and your step.
Amen.
Well, ending with this one point. With this one point. If they ever get to thinking you're really something. Look at verse 19. If you ever get to thinking you're really something, just go back and look at Genesis 3:19. Look at the last thing. The man's threefold relation to the dust. Man's threefold relation to the dust. Number one, for out of it was thou taken. He was taken from dust. Number two, for dust thou art. Number three, and unto dust shalt thou
return.
Unto dust. The next time we get to think that we're really something, and we start talking about our achievements and what we've done and so forth and so on, let's go back to this verse and say, I'm taken out of dust. I am dust. And on the dust I'm going to return.
Amen.
And say, like I believe it was Abraham, I think it was Abraham who said, Lord, you know, we're our frame. Or it was David, one of them said, I'm but dust. But praise the Lord. In the midst of the curse, what do we find? We find the God of love.
Amen.
Coming out from man.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Look at 2 Corinthians 4.
I'd like to read verse 5 first. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. What are we preaching tonight? What's been the message tonight? It's Christ.
Amen.
You know, we're not preaching a church. We're not preaching a religion. We're not preaching a good life. We're not preaching a reformation. We're preaching Christ,
Amen.
Jesus the Lord, and salvation by the grace of God.
Amen.
You know, as Charles Wesley wrote that great hymn, it can it be that I should gain an interest in his love? Can it be that I have a part in this great love? And as Becky sang that song this morning, God could have chosen many, many different people to be a partaker of his love. Why did he choose a sinner like me? There were a lot of better men that went to school with me. There were a lot of better men in the service with me when I got saved. But by the grace of God, he came down and gave me an offer of salvation. He said, Lyndall, I love you. And I said, that's the best offer I've ever had. He said, I'll forgive your sins. I'll save your soul. I'll change your life. I'll take you unto myself as a son and an heir. And one of these days, I'll take you to glory.
Amen.
Salvation isn't the end. Salvation is the beginning,
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Too many of us in Christianity feel like, oh, let's just get them saved. Let's just get them saved. And that's a wonderful thing to get them saved. But bless your heart, that's but the doorway into the life of God.
Amen.
And I want you to know that's but the birth pangs. That's just the place where somebody hits America, discovers America. You know, You got born on a certain day. I discovered America in 1936. I don't know when you did. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ brought me into his life in 1957. And I discovered eternal life in 1957. You know, we preach not ourselves. And one reason why we don't preach ourselves is because we can't help you.
That's right.
We can't help you. We preach not ourselves. We don't have much to brag on. We were dust, we are dust, and we're going to be dust. Amen, brother. That's the truth. But you know, we have one that's more than dust.
Amen.
We have one that was God himself who took upon himself the form of a man, the form of a servant, and he died for men that men might be saved.
Amen.
You know, there's no salvation offered to angels tonight. There are a lot of fallen angels. And they've fallen, and throughout the Word of God, you find not one angel ever getting saved. Not one angel ever being reclaimed. Not a gospel ever preached in order that Satan might repent and come back. Or that any of his angels could ever come back. There is no salvation for angels because God did not die for angels. God never took upon himself the form of an angel, but he took upon himself the form of a man. And as a man became obedient to the death of the cross, and under the death of the cross, he died in my place and he became that curse for me.
Amen.
And became that curse for you. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know there's no way to be saved by joining this church or being baptized in the water outside or turning over a new leaf or changing your life or giving up smoking, drinking, cursing, or whatever else it might be that you think that you're doing wrong. There is no salvation in your will or in your efforts. The only salvation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ
Amen.
And through his death in your place, the great substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul could say, we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus. But notice what else he said. The Lord.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is not a fire insurance policy against the flames of hell.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
And when you accept him as your Savior, he becomes your Lord.
Amen.
He bought you with a price. It wasn't silver or gold. It was the precious blood of Christ without spot or blemish. It was beyond the price that man could place upon him. He bought you. Christian friend, if you live outside the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you have stolen from him that which he bought and paid for and claimed
Amen.
And owned. Jesus Christ the Lord. So we not only preach Jesus Christ for salvation, my friend, as the one that's a substitute for you in your death. We preach Jesus Christ as the Lord of every day of your life.
Amen.
He is your Lord and you are responsible to him. And you may not think so now, but there's coming a day when you and I will stand before the Lord of heaven and earth. And you read about him in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, and he has those piercing eyes of flame. Flame of the fire. He reaches down and he sees all things. And one day, my friend, your life and my life is going to stand examined by that judge who misses nothing. And he is Lord. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You know the reason why some of us are servants and some of us become your servants and some of us as servants knock on your door and invite you to the love of God. Some of us knock on your door and give you the Word of God. Some of us do one thing or another for you and we serve one another. It's because Jesus Christ has bought us and we belong to Him. And he made servanthood an exalted thing because he became a servant. And so we, because of the love of God in Christ Jesus, become servants
for the love of Christ.
It says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Look back at verse 3. The last part of verse 2. We do it, it says, there's a little but there, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Tonight, I'm commending myself to your conscience. You're going to make a judgment of what I have to say. You make a judgment of the words that I give, or Brother Joe, or Brother Brent, or Dale, or Danny, or Billy, or whoever might be speaking tonight. We are commending ourselves to your conscience. Within you, there is a judging faction. There's something says right, something says wrong, something says truth. We're commending ourselves to your conscience in trying to handle the Word of God, not deceitfully. The brothers have been up here, haven't been reinterpreting anything for you. Say, well, now in my studies of the Greek and the Hebrew, I've got a better rendering, a more faithful. No, they've just been saying, here's what the Word says. It's just plain. You can read it for yourself. You don't have to be some priest with some foreign language. You don't have to be some holy man of God. You can take it and read 8th grade English, and it says right here that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. It says that He's the only one that can save you. It says He's the Lord, and it says He has the rights over your soul. Just plain and simple. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by a manifestation, a setting forth of the truth of God. So He said here, but if our gospel be hid. Can you imagine any greater tragedy than the gospel being hidden? But you know the gospel is hidden to many minds.
Right.
I've talked to many. Some of you that have talked to people, you've talked to many. And you give them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest promises ever brought to the imagination of man. And they ignore it as if it were a piece of dirty gum that you're offering. As corrupt, putrid food that nobody would even want to taste. As a polluted offering that meant nothing. They don't even see it.
That's right.
They don't even see what they're missing. And sometimes we judge them in this, and sometimes we as believers and witnesses and preachers, we get angry because they don't see the value of that which we preach, and they don't appreciate the gospel that we have to offer. But my friend, you wouldn't get angry at a blind man if he said, see, it's blue, it's blue, can't you see it's blue? He said, I can't see. He doesn't have the ability to see it. He doesn't know it's blue. He doesn't know the hues of blue. He doesn't know what a rainbow looks like. Brother, I want you to know there's a world out there that's blind. They're blind in their own sin. They're blind in their own stubborn will. They're blind in their rebellion. But my friend, they're blinded because they have an enemy. It says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They have an enemy. The God of this world is Lucifer, His Majesty Satan. The enemy of God. The one who's done battle with God for over 6,000 years. And the one who's after the souls of men. And he's out there in blindness, my friend. Producing blindness. Keeping people in blindness. Hiding things from them. And that's the reason why we need to preach Christ. He said, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
One day, I had plenty of religion, but I didn't have salvation. I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know much about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'd heard that if you really repented of your sins and sought God through Jesus Christ, He'd save your soul. And that little real light, it came to me from a neighbor. It came to me from a preacher he brought by my house. It came through to me through two men I worked with. It came to me maybe from the example of my parents who were believers and from my wife who was saved. But the gospel of Jesus Christ confronted me many times. I can't say like some men, no man cared for my soul. Many people cared for my soul. I'm thankful for the witness, those that presented Christ Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. What can we do for blind people? We can go up and preach the gospel and say, see.
Amen.
Because I want you to know God can make them see.
Amen.
Your job and my job is not to despair because of the blindness in the world.
Amen.
Your job and my job is to be like Ezekiel, to walk out to those dry bones and say, bones, live.
Amen.
How in the world can a bunch of dead bones live? They can't live. It's absolutely impossible for dead bones to live. Dead bones, how are you going to get up and walk? You can't walk. I can look out here at the lost people, saved people, whatever, and I can say, do the impossible. You say, it can't be done. But I want you to know, when you speak the word of God to a bunch of dead bones, they can live.
Yeah.
And when you speak the glorious gospel and light of the Lord Jesus Christ, blind men can see.
Amen.
And I want you to know, lame men that can't walk, they can get up and walk.
Amen.
So I'll tell you what we do. We walk out to a bunch of dead, dry, dusty bones that don't have any sinew or meat or skin upon them. And we see the great valley of dead men all around us. Blind men that cannot see because they don't have eyes to see. And we preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you. Jesus Christ died in your place. He paid the debt. It's all been paid. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I want you to know, you preach that to enough blind men, some of them are going to see.
Amen.
I want you to know, to preach it to a bunch of dead men, some of them are going to live.
Amen.
And you preach it to enough dry bones, some of them are going to stand up and make an army. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What is the answer? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I want you to know there's power in that book. That thing's alive.
Amen.
You say, you just got an old book up there. That thing's alive.
Amen.
What are you going to do with it? Man, it's living. Hang on to it. It's living. Just let it loose.
Amen.
See what it'll do.
Amen.
Let the Word of God take one of these promises right in here and let the Spirit of God make it alive in your heart. I want you to know, He transformed you.
Amen.
He literally changed your life.
Amen.
He'll take you from wherever you are and put you where you never thought you could ever be.
Amen.
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 This book is living. Because the one that lives uses this book.
Amen.
It's the sword of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the instrument He uses to make blind men see and dead men live. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I never will forget a man. I was preaching in a new community. And there was a real tough hombre in that community. And I went into one barbershop and they said, preacher, before you mess with us, I want you to get this fella out here. And they were really making fun of him. They said, this guy's the toughest thing in town. And I said, where is he? What's his name? So they told me his name. I said, well, I'm going out there then. You see, you guys said you'd believe after I got him. I'm coming back for you. Oh, don't go, preacher. Don't go. This guy, he liable to kill you, man. He liable to shoot you or beat you up. You go out there messing with him, giving him the gospel. You know what I did? I said, where does he live? So I drove out there, and that fella's sitting on his front porch with a rifle shooting rabbits out across the way. Sitting out there with a rifle. And he was about 6'5", and weighed about 240. But he was big, man. He made the woolly booger look small. Hey, man, this guy's something else. And I knew he was tough. I said, friend, I'd like to tell you about the best friend I ever had, the Lord Jesus Christ has told me. And you know, that day he got out on his knees, right out on the porch, in front of anybody who wanted to drive by, could take you out to that house right now. The porch isn't there anymore, but the house is still there. And that day, that man who everybody was scared to even talk to called on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's been in this church and given his testimony. But at any rate, I want you to know something. I went back to those men. I said, now that I'm after you, boy, they laughed. You know what most of them did? They didn't want any part of the gospel. Just an excuse. Go give it to so-and-so.
Yeah.
Go give it to that tough guy down there. How would you have liked to have been Ananias on the night that the Lord said, Ananias, I got a little job for you. What do you want, Lord? I'm willing to do anything. Well, there's a man named Saul of Tarsus, and I want you to go witness to him. He said, oh, Lord, I've heard much about this man. Lord, I think I must be praying in the wrong spirit tonight. Lord, are you sure you want me to go see Ananias? I mean, I'll go see Saul of Tarsus. Well, that man is put me in prison. Lord, you put me in prison. I mean, what's going to happen to me? Oh, he's a chosen vessel.
Amen.
He is a chosen vessel under me. Why in the world God save you? You're a chosen vessel under the hand of God.
Amen.
Ananias walked into that room. He might have still been trembling. I don't know how strong his faith was. But you know, God chose him.
Amen.
You don't hear much about Ananias, do you? You read much more in the Bible about Ananias? No. You know what you read about him? He led Saul of Tarsus to the Lord. Showed him the light of God, let a blind man see.
Amen.
Told him the great things he was going to have to do and how he was going to be persecuted and suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And that he's going to preach the gospel before kings and emperors.
Praise the Lord.
Ananias was a chosen vessel. I don't know much about the man. In fact, I don't even remember the name of the man, the shoe salesman or whatever it was that led D.L. Moody to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do know that he went by to a 17-year-old shoe salesman and witnessed to him and told him how to get saved, and maybe a million men came to the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of that conversion. Somebody got some energy. We need to go out and present light to blind people and life to dead people.
Amen.
It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It transformed the Apostle Paul into the greatest missionary we've ever known. Or known anything about. Or at least what we think of. God may have a different category he judges by than what we do. But at any rate, God used this man not only to suffer for his sake, but to write the word of God and to set out the church ministry and to teach us all these things. Praise God! I want you to know he's got some vessels he's still choosing.
Amen.
Now you and I might be lucky enough, or pardon me, that's a bad word, blessed enough to come into the place that we lead that last person in the bride of Christ.
Amen.
How would you like to be witnessing down on your knees and have your Bible turned around and say, wouldn't you like to come to Jesus Christ? Oh, yes, I would. Just call on him right now. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, save me out of time. Oh, you deserve both. Go. Amen?
Amen.
Wow, how about that? That'd be worthwhile, wouldn't it? Hey, why don't you go out and witness somebody this week? You just might be the one. I want you to know, when God gets his bride ready, he's not going to be like some of these bachelors till the rapture. When God gets his bride ready, he's going to take her out. You hear me, Joy? Danny, you listening? Amen. And you never know when the day and the hour is going to come.
Amen.
Praise God. I want you to know, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness.
Amen.
You know how light came about? God commanded it.
Amen.
He said, light, shine.
Amen.
And it shone, brother.
Amen.
I would do the light still around.
Amen.
You know, there never had a little darkness that could put out light yet.
That's right.
Light is more powerful than darkness in every case.
Amen.
No matter where the darkness is, all you got to do is strike a match. Dispel some darkness runs.
Amen.
Take a little old flashlight like this. You know what that thing? That is a powerful little light in the dark. Doesn't look like much out here, does it? Oh, but that is a powerful little light when you turn down all the lights. I want you to know that will dispel the thickest darkness in the darkest cave.
That's right.
Light always dispels darkness. And you and I have the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's believe it. Let's go out and put out some light so that it'll chase away the darkness. Amen.
Amen.
For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts.
Amen.
To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Amen.
What depresses many Christians is their earthen vessel.
Yeah.
You know what your problem is? You're not living in the light of the grace of God. You're trying to make that old flesh be a beautiful thing for God. Your flesh will never live for God.
Amen.
Your flesh is sorry. It was sorry from the word go. And it'll be sorry down to the last word. And your flesh, God will never be pleased in. He'll not be pleased in your willpower. He'll not be pleased in your self-control. He'll not be pleased in your worship. He'll not accept anything of that dead, condemned flesh. You got an earthen vessel. You know what makes you a valuable witness? Is that they see Christ shining out of that earthen vessel. They look at you and you're an enigma. Because they say you're a human being. You talk like everybody else. You walk like everybody else. You eat like everybody else. You dress like everybody else. And yet there's something there. There's a light that seems to come out. And that light is the life of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God living within us that shines out. He comes out of our testimony. He comes out of our life. He comes out of our interest and our walk. And people see the earthen vessel, and they may not brag on the earthen vessel. You know, every once in a while you get discouraged and people start criticizing you. You know what they're criticizing? The earthen vessel.
Amen.
Are they criticizing the Christ in you?
Amen.
No, they're criticizing the earthen vessel. And you get all depressed. Oh, I just can't go on for the Lord. Look at my earthen vessel. No, what are you glorifying in your earthen vessel? Man, as brother said this morning, beans on you, you know? Yo, your earthen vessel's not anything. It's Christ that's everything. He is our all, and He is in all, and He's our all in all. And Jesus Christ is the light that ought to shine out.
Amen.
Praise God. Somebody says, boy, you sure are sorry. That's right, but Jesus is great.
Amen.
He said, well, you know, you're not very good. You have to be right, but Jesus is altogether righteous.
Amen.
He said, you don't have much to commend yourself to God. No, I don't, but the Christ who lives in me is God.
Amen.
Let the light shine out. Don't be worried too much about your earthen vessel shows. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know what the problem is? In much of Christianity today, we have personality cults that we want to lift up our stars. We want to compete with Hollywood. We want to compete with football and basketball. We want to lift up this great preacher and this great Christian and this great saint and this great person. And we bring out people, you know, this guy was in jail for 15 years and he raped 15 women, killed 3 people, was a member of the mafia, and now he's got saved, has a tremendous testimony. You know, boy, he really living for God. I don't know about all that. You know what I think's important? Jesus is important.
Amen.
I don't care if it's coming out of a little 7-year-old boy that says, I've got Christ in me. Let me tell you, we're not the old man. We're the circumcision of God. We worship God in the Spirit.
Amen.
Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Have no confidence in the flesh. It's Christ that shines out that's important. It's not how you've changed your earthen vessel. We better quit bragging on earthen vessels.
Amen.
Because every one of them was dust, is dust, and going to be dust. Thank you, Amen. Brother Joe. I appreciate that thought. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. I'll tell you one thing tonight, my brother. There isn't any power in you.
That's right.
Now, you may have just been saved a short while, or maybe you just began to preach a while back, and you have this surge of power within you, and you think it's in you. Hang around for a while, and God will let you know where it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I started out preaching, Brother Ken, and I'd have as an evangelist, and I'd have a real good message, and boy, I'd preach that thing one night, and boy, it'd just clear the pews, you know. They'd be down in the front, and I'd say, wow, what a message. Oh, that message is great. I'd say, Lord, sure glad you gave me that message. Man, that's a good message. So I go to the next revival meeting and say, I got to use that message. Boy, and I get up and preach that thing, dead as a door. I mean, there wouldn't anybody move by it. I wouldn't even move by it. Except the indigestion, maybe, or something like that. Wait a minute, Lord, what happened? What happened to that good message? He said, son, it's not in the message, it's in me.
Amen.
Where's the power? The power's in God.
Amen.
The power's in Christ. That the power may be of God and not of us. That's why Paul could glory in his infirmities. But he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Well, I'm going to slow down myself. We're troubled on every side. Let me just read through these, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but never forsaken. Not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed.
Amen.
Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing, look at verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus.
Amen.
And shall present us with you.
Amen.
These men face death. Sometimes the lion, sometimes the stoning at the edge of the town. Sometimes it was the whiplash of the Roman jailer as he put them down in the stocks at night. They faced death. They had an uncertain future. But you know how they could do that? They preached Christ Jesus the Lord and themselves the servants. And they knew, knowing that he raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise us up also. Amen?
Amen.
You know, once we've been saved, we shouldn't hang on to this life so much. Once we've been saved, we shouldn't have a fear of death. Because, my brother, the one that raised up Jesus Christ is going to raise us up also.
That's right.
You know, that's a beautiful thing. Look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You notice what kind of grace there is there? It's abundant grace. Have you been saved? Have you enjoyed any of the abundant grace of God? The abundant grace, something that's abounding, that's overflowing, that just keeps on coming. Year after year, year after year, as you walk through this old life and your old earthen vessel looks like it's just about to break. It looks like it's about to crack. And you think, my earthen vessel can't make it through another day. This old earthen vessel can't make it another week. You know, I don't see how God's put up with this earthen vessel. You know, He doesn't mind the earthen vessel if the earthen vessel simply let Jesus shine out. And the earthen vessel but shows the abundant grace of God.
Yeah.
You see, if you were worthy of being saved when you got to heaven, you'd say, my, wasn't I strong-willed? My, didn't I live a good life for God? My, didn't I win many souls to Christ? My, didn't I suffer? My, didn't I do this, that, and the other thing? But my friend, what you're going to glory in, what you're going to praise God for when you walk through those gates and as you walk down the corridors of heaven forever is the abundant grace of God, and that abundant grace in these old earthen vessels is going to redound and rebound and keep on going to the glory of God. Amen? It says, for this cause we faint not. You know, if we didn't know some of this, we could sure get discouraged with our earthen vessels and with our daily walk. But for this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. You ever feel like your outward man's about gone? Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment,
Lord,
working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction, Paul's saying that.
Yeah.
Remember what was read either this morning or yesterday in one of the meetings? He said our light affliction, none of us have been afflicted like him, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just a moment. You can't even stand a little fuss with your wife or husband for a day. You can't even have a door slammed. You know, I mean, boy, it's just an eternity. Everything is just disasters happen. Some little something didn't go your way. And Paul's talking about our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I think of all the times he spent in jail, all the time the cockroaches and the rats ran around on the floor where he had his food. I think of the stripes as his back bled. I think of the beating with rods left him probably crippled and ugly. That's probably the ugliest little old Jew walking around crippled preaching the gospel you ever saw. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. The problem with us is we look at our earthen vessel and we look at our possibilities and our future. We look at things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. My friend, let's let the abundant grace of God show through us as we preach the glorious gospel out of earthen vessels and praise His name for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the light of God and the power of God that resides within us, and we have an opportunity to share in and not worry about the things that can be seen.
Amen.
I was thinking today about, you know, Linda, I think it was this morning that she sang out of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. If they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall not be wings of eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And I was thinking about how we, so often we pray for something and, you know, we're saying, be patient, wait on the Lord, He'll answer us in His time and everything. And speaking of His love tonight, I thought, how often He waits on us.
Amen.
He waits on us. You know, His Spirit draws, you know, so many people, but how many times do they reject it and say, next time, maybe next time, you know, when I'm ready. And so often we just make Him wait, and He so patiently waits on us. It was like Michael standing up tonight, I thought, oh Lord, here I am, you know, I should have been up a long time ago sharing His word and His life, and this little boy, he stands up and shares. And I thought, yeah, He waits so patiently, and I'm still understanding it. I was God, out of a long time ago, man. When he didn't get rid of you, you're not doing me any good. You're not ever going to come around. I just thought of his patience. And there's a verse that put this on of scripture. It's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22.
Amen.
It says, it is of the Lord's mercy. It's his love. It's so great.
Amen.
It says, we are not concerned because his compassion fail not. He's never going to fail. He's going to, he'll keep waiting on us. He knows sooner or later we'll come around. We'll repent. Or we'll do what he wants. You know, we'll eventually do what he's calling us to do, asking us to do. It says, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithful.
Amen.
He's so faithful.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
He's so faithful.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing grace?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Couple of special guests. Brother Ken Cunahiro, missionary to Brazil, to the Japanese speaking people in Brazil for 28 years.
Amen.
It was in 1964, I think it was. Maybe 1965. Right in that range when I first met this brother. And I learned to love him right away. And of course, you've met, many of you have met his brother Hideo with us a couple of times this last year. We thank the Lord for them and their witness. He has another brother that's here in town. And you can introduce your brother to us if you will. Why don't you say a few words to us, brother, whatever you have upon your heart. Amen.
It's a real wonderful privilege being here. I really have enjoyed this evening here, and it's been something close to heaven here.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
As I have been here, I've been, you know, I was born right close by here.
Amen.
I was born on the west side here in San Antonio, and I was raised up in the city, and I was sort of thinking back on my past. My past is a very happy past. We had a very unhappy family. But I thank the Lord for His wonderful grace.
Amen.
I was called to the Army in the Second World War. And after I finished the, my obligation, I went to take the paynail.
That's what I say. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. That's one place. The Lord's grace is sufficient wherever we are.
Amen.
You know, it's through just a little testimony of somebody that when I start thinking about it, the Lord just will start speaking to my heart. And you know, sometimes a little testimony is very important.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
You know, I guess a little testimony, you know, well, it's insignificant, so I guess that, but, well, and I am so but it's lifted, but the Lord was speaking to me.
Amen.
And I started reading my Bible, I started praying, and the Lord brought all the sand in my life to me. And one day I just got down my knees up there, my Bible says, I came in and I confessed my sins, and I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
I committed my life into His hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Lord gave me a new life, a new hope, a new mind, and almost everything you except fighting. But the Lord has been very, very good to me. If I stay there, I testify to others. And I think that's one of the signs I was saying.
Amen.
Testify to others.
Amen.
My word about the Bible became real precious to me. Every morning I got up 1 hour earlier to read God's word. And I prayed. And the Lord started speaking to me because I want you to go out there and preach the gospel to other places.
Amen.
Well, I was kind of scared of death that He's going to send me out there. I'll start in the United States, you know. But I wanted to settle down here, you know, like people like to settle down here. Like get a house, like get a car, like get a sweet wife, and everything else, and all the assurance of your everything else. But the Lord said, I want you to go out and preach the gospel. Well, something came to my mind here. And Luke 9:23. And Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily.
And I said, you know, that sounds a lot like being born again.
Amen.
Turn with me to the third chapter of John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 1. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher of God, for no man can do miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, Joe brought something up very interesting the other day. Nicodemus came in and he said some great things about Jesus, and Jesus just went right to the heart of the matter, and without even so much as saying, well, thank you, I appreciate that, he says, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Well, if you look at Nicodemus, I wrote down some characteristics of Nicodemus, and as far as religious characteristics, he was a Pharisee, okay, which is one of the religious leaders at the time. He was a rabbi. He was a theologian. He was learned in the law and in the scripture. He had great position. He was a religious leader, a member of the great Sanhedrin, a ruler of the Jews, a master in Israel. He was also a Jew, a son of Abraham, had birthright to all the promises. This man, I believe he is put here, I'm sure Jesus talked to a lot of Pharisees personally, but this one here, this man seems to me to be the epitome of religion based on, or man's justification by religion, or birthright, or works of righteousness.
Amen.
That's right.
If you could stack yourself up, if you could say everything about yourself that Nicodemus could say about himself,
amen,
you would be a righteous man, at least appear to be a very righteous man. And yet Jesus looked right at him and said, except a man be born again,
amen,
and not see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And Jesus was all the very person. He said it right to Nicodemus. That I say unto thee, okay? So he wasn't talking to Nicodemus about, you know, the world in general or people in general. He was talking directly to,
amen,
Nicodemus. Well, if all these things that Nicodemus had and all these things that he were weren't sufficient, all right, what was the problem? Obviously, Jesus says he had to be born again. Nicodemus says in verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, Christ must have a lot of patience. That question, really, I mean, dumb, you know. No, of course not. You know that ain't the answer. But so what is being born again? Being born again is a spiritual experience. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible,
amen,
but of incorruptible,
amen,
by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
You know, we're born again, we're not regenerated or transformed in the sense that our old flesh is made better flesh or more religious flesh.
That's right.
You can take a thistle, all right, out of a field, and you can bring it in.
and you can water it, and you can fertilize it, and do anything you want to. And you're never going to get fixed on it. It's a physical, and that's what it'll always be. We're flesh, and that's what our flesh will always be.
Right.
Flesh. Back in, back to 3 John, Jesus brings that out. He says, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Well, to explain it, or a good illustration of what being born again is, Clarence Clark gives a pretty good illustration. The illustration he used was that, let's say that the Father, in being born again, you have a Father, and that would be the Holy Spirit. You have the Mother, which let's say that would be the heart of man. Then that's you seed, being the Word of God. Now you have to have all three of these things active to have a new birth. If you just have the Father, alright, well then there's no new birth, because no man is involved. If you just have the human heart, and no Father, no Holy Spirit, there's still no new birth. If you have the human heart, and you have the seed, the Word, and no Holy Spirit to vitalize, you still have no new birth. You need all three.
Amen.
You need the Word of God, you need the Holy Spirit to vitalize that Word, that seed, in your heart. And then you have a new life, something new is created.
Amen.
If that's, that's being born again. That's, if you have to be born again then, how are you born again? Well, let's go to verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As Joe said a while ago, back in Numbers, the story of the brazen serpent being lifted up, Israel murmured, and they were being judged, and there were fiery serpents, and the people were being bit, and many of them were dying. Alright? Well, in intercession for the people, Moses lifted up a brazen serpent on a pole, and the people came and they looked on this pole, and if they'd been bitten, well, then they were healed. If we're to take that and apply that to, say, salvation, alright, let's say, first of all, that you have to know that you're bitten. Okay?
Amen.
If a man's in his sleep, and he got bit by a brazen serpent, and he never woke up to the fact that he'd been bitten, he would die in his sleep. If he got bit, if he woke up and did nothing about it, still didn't know he'd bitten, he would die in the middle of his breakfast, or whatever, how long it took to die. If a sinner doesn't realize the consequences of his sin, he'll die and pay the consequences
right.
of those sins. For the wages of sin is death. We can't get around it. Those
right.
are the wages are, that's what God has said, or set the wages to be.
Right.
Second of all, a man has to know that if he is bit, that God has provided a remedy.
Amen.
And God provided a remedy.
Amen.
If a man is bit by that snake, that Israelite could have gone and tried any man-made potion he could have wanted to, and he would have still died.
That's right.
There's only one thing that would have saved him, and that was to look upon a brazen serpent.
Amen.
If a man today knew about Christ, right, but he didn't go to look at Christ, he would still have no salvation. What you have to do is, first of all, you got to know you're bit. I know I'm going to die. Now you have to know that God has provided a remedy. Jesus Christ is the answer. Alright? But if an Israelite never went to look at the brazen serpent, if he stayed in his tent after he's bit, he would die. You've got to come to the brazen serpent, just like you have to come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And depend on him for your salvation.
Amen.
Well, if you have to be born again then, and you can be born again, as in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, there's a way to tell if you have been born again. In verse 8, we read, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So everyone that is born of the Spirit, you can't see your new spiritual being that's been born. Now, if you look in the mirror, the day after you're saved, you're going to look the same the day right
before. Amen.
Maybe, you know, change may look worse, I don't know. There's not anything fast that you can see.
Right.
Right? When I go out tonight, and the wind and the trees are moving back and forth, and I'm having to walk, you know, tilt into the wind, it's not because I can see it, but I can feel it. That's the way the Spirit works. You can see the results of the Spirit. If you go to Galatians 5, you can read about the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
Joy, peace, and long-suffering. If you go to Acts chapter 4, as Brother Kincaid talked about yesterday, you can see how the speech of the people is affected in presenting the gospel. They present it boldly, you know.
Amen.
They have this Holy Spirit, and it gives them that boldness. They also have, and this is what Brother Kenny Harrell brought to my mind, was they have that new tongue, you know. They
Amen.
Speak about new things, the old things. They don't want to talk about the old things anymore. They don't want to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
You know? They have new food. You know?
Amen.
Let's go down to the cafeteria and eat the word.
Amen.
New song, you know. Amen. I don't care about being a hound dog, you know.
Amen.
We don't go down to beer halls anymore. We come to church.
Amen.
We come to church and fellowship.
Amen.
So, quote, let me say then that you must be born again.
Amen.
That you can be born again, and you can know if you're born again.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at Daniel chapter 6.
Amen. Amen. Soak it up.
Amen.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 6 and verse 25. I don't want to blind anybody. All right. Then King Darius, Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever.
Amen.
And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end.
Amen.
He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of lions. And then he goes on to talk about Daniel in other times. But it says in verse 27, he delivereth and rescueth.
Amen.
We are testimonies to the fact that our God rescue. Our God reaches down and rescues. You know, in Steve's case, God just reaches down and rescues.
Amen.
In Eddie's case, he just reaches. And you know, when you've got a good rescuer, you're good at rescuing. You call.
Amen.
When you've got somebody who can really rescue.
Amen.
You know, we talk about how far you can fall. And brother, I'm talking about Christians. You can fall an awful long way.
That's right.
Man, you can become just really as far down as you just so low that you have to reach out and touch the bottom. As it said, you can get so low that you don't really have any more deep that you can go. That's as far as you can go. But God is a God of rescue. And God comes and he rescues. And if you don't believe it, you just hang around, you'll see him rescue a few more.
Amen.
You'll see somebody call up and say, God, rescue me.
Amen.
Man, this is the last hope I've got. Lord, you rescue me.
Hallelujah.
He'll rescue me.
Amen.
Our God is a rescuing God. There was Daniel cast into the den of lions. And I don't know whether Daniel was scared or not. But Daniel didn't get eaten. Daniel didn't get eaten like all the other people had been cast in that den of lions before that.
Right.
You know, I always had the illusions that maybe if I was confronted with a lion, that I might be able to just beat him. You know, I don't know. Oh, I think about, you know, grabbing him by the throat or something. I just might try. And, you know, I think, you know, watch 10 or 15 hungry lions against me. But I would have been eaten just like all the others. I might have even pulled down me one lion, but I don't know. I would have been eaten except I had a rescuer. And Daniel would have been eaten except he had a rescuer.
Amen.
But Daniel wasn't eaten. And when he wasn't eaten, he came out just as whole. He didn't have one bite out of him, and he came out just as whole as when he went in there.
Hallelujah.
And all the people who hated Daniel, they were thrown right there where he was, and they got eaten because they didn't have the rescue.
Right.
And I see rescue. Every face I look at, I see
Amen.
Rescue.
Amen.
We're rescued. We are rescued from the very pit, from the very bottom. I've been rescued. I've been rescued from pre-sickness. I've been rescued, and I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about mental sickness. I've been rescued from a lot of things. And I can see, and I can think of some that have already left, we've been rescued.
Amen.
We need to remember our God is a rescuer, and those of you who are still looking for that rescue, who say, you know, Lord, I'm turning to you, tree, please rescue me. If you're still looking for that rescue, you're looking for the right person.
Amen.
He rescued
Amen.
Daniel. He rescued me. He rescued Steve. He rescued Danny. I can just keep on naming off. He rescued Amen. Brother Lindell. He rescued Dale. I don't know how many I can name off here. He's rescued. You trust in the rescue.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord Jesus.
Another rescue.
Amen.
The rescue is
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Matthew chapter 14.
Amen.
Hey, we're having a time. Come on, Brent. Don't ruin the picture. Amen.
Well, ruin the picture.
So you shall read. Amen.
I was like to read. Matthew chapter 14. Can't read it now. Verse 27.
Don't let him fool you. He told him to take it.
How about verse 24?
But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of no faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. When they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I really don't have a message. There's a few points that struck my mind as the different messages were bringing. First of all, Peter attempted something for God, and he did what no other disciples did.
He dared
to go to Jesus.
Amen.
He dared to do the impossible. He dared to step out by faith, as has been mentioned. He dared to take that step and to walk by faith and go to Jesus. Peter was a man that said, if the Lord be God, if it be Him, then I will serve Him. If the Lord is God, I will serve Him. He stepped out of the boat, and He went to do the impossible. My friends, He did do the impossible.
Amen.
He walked on water. Only two men I can think of that I know of throughout all eternity walked on water. Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Peter.
Amen.
Notice something else. He stepped out of the boat, out on the water, began to go to Jesus to do the impossible. And when he took his eyes on the Lord and looked upon the circumstances about him, when he looked upon the waves, he looked upon, when he suddenly realized I'm doing the impossible, he said, this cannot be so. He began to be afraid. And he sank immediately. The same thing happens to us when we take our eyes on the Lord and say, we cannot do this. There's no way that man can be saved. There's no way that God can rescue here. There's no way that I can run water. Well, then you will immediately begin to sink because God has ever honored faith. When we take faith, God, we don't place it, we begin to look at ourselves.
That's right.
But notice something here that it was a blessing is what Peter, he said, Lord, save
me. Amen.
Before I go on this, let me say something about what Billy said. God is a great rescuer. He can rescue anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what the circumstances, He can rescue from fire, and I think there's on that. He can rescue from perils of sea. I think there's some verses on that. He can rescue from the mouth of the lion. I think there's some verses on that. I think almost any circumstance that you and I could come in and we find ourselves perishing, if we just but say what Peter
Amen.
Said.
Amen.
Lord, save me.
Amen.
We'll find the very same thing immediately. Strike forth his hand.
Amen.
You know something about the fall? About the fall, Billy, and this is, you know, if the disciples that were in a boat fell, it wouldn't have been much, would it? But the one that dares to do the impossible,
right.
The one that dares to go to the Lord
Amen.
And go to Him and try the impossible.
They fall great.
Oh, it's tragic. But you know, even God there.
Amen. Amen.
When that man falls, the other disciples, they see the fall. It's open, whereas the disciples are open. When they tell, maybe nobody lives.
They're in the line.
They're the one that all the world
God can reach. Amen.
Oh, I praise God. Oh, I praise God for the first thing.
Amen.
Oh, we go to something for you.
I'm going to give her a heart attack.
Notice what Peter said. Lord, save
me. Amen.
No man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Spirit of God.
He said, Lord.
Lord.
He said, Lord.
He recognized who Jesus was. He was
the Lord.
Notice something else.
He said, save.
He had the right God, the right Lord, and the right need.
You know, Jesus Christ came to save that which is lost.
Amen. Do you realize the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins? Do you realize that 1 John chapter 2 says He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the
saved.
He came to save.
Know something else.
You know, a lot of people say, a lot of people talk about the great salvation of God, and they're not saved. You know why? Because they never came to the place to say what Peter did. Lord, save! I've gone into homes and sat down with them and pleaded with them and talked to them about their need of a Savior. I've gone in their homes and talked to them about what Jesus had done for them. I told them about the blood being shed. I told them about the majestic, how great God is and how holy He is. I told them all that I knew about God. I told them what God had done for me and what God could do for them, and they'd but repent. But you know what they'd say?
Oh, we're glad that your life is changed.
Mm. We can aid you. I'm so happy that you're all on that
old. Me,
respectful, and caught.
But you know, there is a
reason. He's saying, when we get into sin, God's still going to deal with that sin.
Right.
He'll deliver us from it, but He's still got a message for us.
Oh, He still has room to follow.
He still has a chance.
He'll pull us out.
Just like if my little daughter, I tell her to get away from the stove, and she goes over and puts her hand in the bucket. I'll pull her away, I'll snatch, and she'll fall in the bathtub, you know, and be gurgling and gurgling. Daddy, Daddy, you know, I'll go run, and I'll snatch her out immediately.
That's
you're making my heart murmur here.
Amen.
Ain't we having a time?
She'll never understand that. Jill, God is our Father. And his ear is attentive on our cry, and he'll hear us say,
Amen.
Amen.
Why don't we have Susan say?
Well,
Susan? No. We won't be. And then we'll call that out and we'll close it out tonight. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you be ready. Danny's going to close us out after we have this couple say.
Amen.
We asked you here one time.
We did want to learn.
Amen.
Only believe, only believe God is able. Only believe God is true. The ocean, who have never heard of his word. God wants to save us all, but it's up to us to go. Won't you give him a chance to only believe? Only believe, only believe God is able. Only believe God is true.
Amen.
Only believe God is faithful. Only believe that he wants to use you. Only believe that he wants to use you.
Amen. Y'all have notes?
Yeah, pushing next, I share a verse real quick. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You heard a story not too long ago by a lady. She read there was a missionary, a person that surrendered his life to the mission field, went out to New Mexico to minister to the Indians out there. And she said, as soon as that brother got there and started witnessing, they said, Mister, you gotta go see the crazy lady. Crazy lady, you gotta go see. He said, what do you mean, you crazy lady? He said, well, now she goes out every night, like, you know, real late, 10 o'clock at night, and she just goes out and looks at the stars. It's not a custom for us to do that because we're scared of the spirits. You know, they come out at night and we're scared of them. It's just unusual to do that. That's what we're calling the crazy lady. So he went out there and he went to the crazy lady's house and talked to her and he told her good news, the gospel, and he led her to the Lord. She said, so what took you so long? My husband died not knowing this. She said, I've been all these years seeing all this, but I didn't know the name. I didn't know his name. I saw the handiwork, I saw the star, I saw the beautiful creation, but I didn't know his name. You know, that's how it is. The heavens can declare the work of the Lord, but they can't tell his name. The heavens can't save people, but people gotta know the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad that there's a lot of people.
If the sea could only speak his name, oh, it would gladly bear a silent to it must remain, for only men can share. Can I say no when he says go into all of the world? Christ shed his blood because he loved this whole wide world. Can I behold his wondrous face and not tell others of his grace? Precious Lord, how can I say no?
All of creation must stand in awe and tell of Christ, the Son of God, and yet they still say no.
God will never
the land, the sky, or sea, to take his message to the lost, is that to come from me? Can I say no when he says go into all of the world? Christ shed his blood because he loved his whole wide world. Can I behold his wondrous face and not tell others of his grace? Precious Lord, how can I say no? Precious Lord, how can I say no?
Amen. Danny, what are you? I'd stand in, of course, that was.
Let's just close out with the three of the supper. This is our last thing for tonight. We'll just stand. Glad to have you. May the Lord richly bless you.
Amen. Amen.
That's the name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Wonderful Savior. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through until the battle's done and the victory is won. My Lord will carry you through. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire,
new kitchen in, and we could use any extra forks or dishes, plates, big spoons, anything extra you've got in your kitchen you don't need, you want to give to the child.